Got a lot to talk about on this Monday. You know, talk about the linebackers, all the good stuff, and going to get into our little sponsorships. Let's jump into this. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. We're at 14,300, give or take. And hit that thumbs up on the way in. You definitely like one of the four of us. Might not like
get to 15,000 before training camp.
I think we could do it. We got what?
August 2nd?
No, 29th. All good. Yeah. July 29th.
I think we could do it. We got about 2 weeks, give or take.
All right.
Let's see. But shout out to the sponsors, Prize Picks. You play five, you get 50 instantly using that promo code HMA, as well as SeatGeek. We're going to hear a little bit more about SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love, love, love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app, again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. Go get yourself 10% off on us. Use that COLLECTIVE10. Did your wife and daughter go to that show yet, Alan, or not?
They did. That was last week. Tame Impala, for those not familiar.
They have fun. Was it good?
Yeah, very much so. Dave absolutely loved it. So, very happy.
I'll be using that to go to the Jets game. MetLife takeover. But let's jump into this. Are we gonna, you want to talk about Brooks again?
Is there any other issue of business that the Dolphins have?
No. It's just Brooks.
Yeah. I mean, they got
close that damn curtain already.
They got HN done. They got Brewer done. Those were not surprises because they basically gave them most of their contracts and bonuses, which is basically like, yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll get it right. But Brooks did not get most of his salary and bonuses. Brooks's contract was untouched. And it'll be interesting to see how they play this out. The question is, what do you give Brooks? And does he actually want it?
And that's a big question. You mentioned Brewer and HN had their deal restructured this offseason before they got their extension. Brooks wasn't touched. And I still think it's more likely than not he will get an extension. But Omar, you've been around long enough to know. Basically, the negotiations start off with, Brooks, I want this much. Dolphins say, no, we're going to want to offer you this much. And then, okay, how about this much? And then, we'll move up. And there's back and forth. It's never as simple as this is what we'll offer you. Good, we have a deal. Or this is what I want. Okay, fine. It may take some time. And if you recall, for example, one of the last ones that was done, Zach Sealer, was it last year? That was early September when he got done. So –
Here's the thing that I find very interesting. He is the alpha male of the team. He is the leader of the team. He's playing good guy right now in terms of showing up for everything, doing everything. Does that approach change when he's not getting a deal done? And if you're Jordan Brooks, do you even participate in the exhibition season without a new contract?
I think the thing we really need to remember is that, you know, we're so stuck because it's been 9 years, but we're so stuck on the way that Chris Greer did his contract extensions and how he would drag it out and like it would be this whole part. Whereas, like, we don't really know about Sullivan because Sullivan, he got Brewer and he got Achan. When he said he was going to do it, he was like, boom, I got it done. Here you go. Brooks, like you mentioned, they didn't touch his contract. But I will say on the flip side, and again, this can mean nothing, the whole, you know, he was the face during the draft calling Rodriguez. He was the face for the season ticket holders. He was in the media day photos. Like, they're really putting his face out there. Does that, you know, to me, that's why it seems to
who
me.
Who else's face you going to put out there other than Devon Achane?
You could put Patrick Paul.
Malik Willis, come on, TD, tell him.
There's other guys.
Is your mic off?
No, TD's mic is
on. No, he's not. Who else you going to put out there? The future MVP of the league, Malik Willis. See, you don't like when I say that, do you, Omar?
I'm going to say this, and you can save it for later. Malik Willis better put up better numbers than Tua.
Which Tua? 2020 Tua?
It don't matter, 2026 Tua.
Oh, okay. Comparing Atlanta. Okay. Oh, but do you think Atlanta has better weapons?
No.
Apples and oranges. Number one. Number one, who's got the better offense around him? Tua. Especially at wide receiver and tight end. Number two, are we including total yards with the rushing yards added? Because if you're going strictly passing, you're getting nothing.
Just passing.
I throw him rushing too. Okay, equalizer.
Okay. And total touchdowns, not just passing touchdowns.
Equalizer.
How many games? Let me give you some.
Games played too.
Would I'm like looking at these numbers. All right, 12 games Tua played in this season, right? He had a 67.8 completion percentage. He threw for 2,653 yards, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Did better than that or around that.
Oh, he better do better than that. Those are bad. Yeah. 16 and 10, those are bad numbers.
That is Tua's 2021 numbers. When his only like big superstar he had on the roster was Jalen Waddle, and he was a rookie. But he had 1,000 receiving yards. He was like the only one. That's who he was getting thrown to. But he also missed a bunch of games because he had the broken ribs. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett came in for a few games. What, like 3 or 4 games?
Oh, what season are you talking about, Doug?
2021.
He's talking about 2020.
Why are you taking 2021?
Because I'm trying to equate to the talent around Malik Willis right now.
You know, I'll be honest. I don't care about the talent around him. I'm going to make it harder for Malik. It don't matter because he ain't got Tyreek and Waddle. And you know what I'm also starting to realize? We talked about this on my show. Wide receiver is actually one of the least important positions in today's NFL. Lamar Jackson has gone 5 years and only had 1 year with a 1,000-yard receiver. And that was one receiver, Zay Flowers, in 2025. But that doesn't stop him. What happened?
He's got talent, Hollywood Brown. He's had the DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, but these ain't 1,000-yard receivers. This is a group of collective guys. I mean, Patrick Mahomes.
They're all still better than anybody the Dolphins have.
Well, we don't know that because we ain't seen these guys play yet. Patrick Mahomes, since Tyreek Hill, ain't have a 1,000-yard receiver yet and won 2 Super Bowls without a 1,000-yard receiver on the roster. Yeah, that's fine. We're talking about one guy. We got Devin Achane.
Patrick Mahomes had Sammy Watkins. He's had receivers.
This is my point. A collection of guys. Are we gonna sit here and act like any of them are top 50?
No,
at their position.
No.
Josh Allen, another example. Outside of the one time Stephon Diggs, it's a collection of guys.
All you're bringing up is elite quarterbacks, though.
Exactly. That's where your disrespect comes from, Omar.
Obviously, is elite. Come on, Omar. Keep up. Come on.
I'm not connecting the dots here.
You know. Well. What I'm doing here is making my stand on the fact that's my bar for Malik Willis. That's how good he needs to be. Like we talked about this on the last show, we can't play around with a good enough worst not to be scenario. Good enough. Oh, you were good this year. No. We need you to show their type of talent on the field with less than, and we know we got our guy. We can't leave this season with questions.
And if he doesn't, you draft a quarterback. Can I make one final point on Jordan Brooks?
Exactly.
To Omar's point about does it come to a time where he stops being playing the nice guy and holds in, or, oh, my hamstrings hurt, like Jalen Ramsey did a couple of years ago and miraculously recovered. in time after the for the regular season once he got his contract extension. Let's also look at Zach Sealer, who never did any of that. Christian Wilkins did it. Tua did it. It depends on the guy.
Yeah.
Based on everything we know, Omar, I think you and I would agree, Jordan Brooks is more likely to go the Zach Sealer route than the Christian Wilkins or Tua route.
But if I were him, I would not be playing. Well, I would be participating in practice, but I would not be playing in exhibition games.
You're a player agent, so of course you would.
Yeah, why am I playing in meaningless games when you've got three linebackers who need to get playing time?
Sure.
So say he does go the Sealer route, right? And say a contract doesn't get done, and we're getting closer to that trade deadline, and the Dolphins are, you know, they're looking like a lot of people expect them to. They're competitive, but not good enough to win games and yada, yada. And they're sitting around like 1, 2, 3 wins. Trade deadline comes around. Is Brooks dealt?
Depends what you can get for him.
Yeah. Did you already give him? You haven't given him a deal?
No, have not given him a deal yet.
Is Brooks really going to play this season without a deal?
What leverage does he have?
I think he could, because I would think that the worst case scenario for him, if he can stay healthy, is the franchise tag. I'm not scared of that.
And if he duplicates what he did last year, he'll get more money on the open market.
He can't hold out TD. I mean, it's like he's got no leverage. He's under contract. And again, he does not strike me as somebody who would go, oh my back. Like, right.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. While I commend Devon Achane and A'Ron Brewer for signing their contracts, and when you look at both of their contracts, be honest with you, they're not really that impressive.
From the player standpoint,
yeah. Kudos to the team. You got over on some people. So with that, like, I don't know if I'm Brooks and I say, yeah, I'm signing up to be part of this for the next 3 years of my career. I don't know. I think I want to take it to the market. Mm. I think I want to get a Calais Campbell situation where maybe somebody decides that they're a playoff contender and they want to trade for me at the trade deadline. I'm not sure I want to sign a multi-year deal with the Miami Dolphins because, you know, things are heavy on my shoulders right now. And then as we're talking about with this show, you're going to jettison a lot of these leaders. You're going to push them out the way. So do I really want to be the last Mohican standing?
Whoa, very nice. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you with this Jordan Brooks situation. If I'm Jordan Brooks, I'm trying to force my way out right now if I'm not going to get my big bag. You have to. This man is going to be 29 years old this season. And you risk. Now, don't forget, sometimes it does rely on some of the talent around you. When we don't know if we got guys who can set the edge, that can really make things wear on his numbers as a linebacker. Maybe teams are running more outside. They're not coming in here so I can show my talent as much. And, like, you don't want to have a down year becoming 29 into a contract season. Next offseason may not be as lucrative as he would like it to be, even if he played this season. I wouldn't take that risk. Even though he don't have any leverage, I would be trying to force myself. I'm requesting y'all to trade me. Can y'all do me that favor?
That's not him.
That's not him. That's the thing. One more point also about the idea of like an in-season trade. Keep in mind, if he doesn't have a contract extension, you're talking about a rental. And the Dolphins got a third for Jalen Phillips as a rental from the Eagles. Now he's in Carolina, which is a hell of a nice get for the Dolphins. But that's an edge rusher as opposed to an off-the-ball linebacker, which is not as valuable.
And keep in mind, that's just the fast-forwarding of a compensatory pick that the Dolphins would have potentially gotten for losing Jalen Phillips.
But you don't think you can get a second for him now?
Who's for second for Jalen Phillips?
For Jordan Brooks?
Jordan Brooks.
Not right now.
I think when the Dallas conversation was had, I think you would have been lucky to get a fourth. And at this point, why am I trading a fourth? Why am I trading a fifth round pick for Jordan Brooks? Why?
To save the money.
For what? You got plenty of money next year. You actually need leadership.
Yep.
Somebody. I know y'all love fans, love young teams, but I'm in that locker room. The blind can't lead the blind. Somebody actually has to do the leading. And yeah, but I hate the perception that coaches are going to do it. No, coaches don't come in the locker room. Coaches don't do film study after practice and after film availability. Somebody has to show the way. Somebody has to arrange the off-field meetups and dinners and bonding, blah, 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 that Coupon loves.
So I just don't get it, though, because his value will never be higher than it is right now. At this point, it doesn't go up anymore. I don't like statistically, it's not going up anymore.
He can be the NFL with tackles again and warrant $45 million in guaranteed money. He could.
How much does he impact the game, though? I mean, as politely as I can, and I'm going to backtrack because I'm going to get killed for this, but as politely as I can ask this, how much does he really impact the game as well as he played last year? Did he really?
Ask you the same question about Roquan Smith, who I know you're a big fan of. How much does he really impact the game?
A lot more than Jordan Brooks. I think if you look at like in the turnover category in terms of either picks, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, I think Roquan Smith produces more. In fact, guess what? I'm going to check it while you guys keep chatting.
But does it help being on a better team, surrounded by better players, for Roquan Smith? Because I was going to piggyback off of what TD said with, if we can't set the edge, these offenses that we face are just going to pinpoint, okay, these are their strengths on the defense, which is like two guys at this time. We're just going to go away from them. Oh, Jordan Brooks, he's lined up more to the left of center, and we're going to run to the right. Or, we're going to just avoid this man and avoid that man. And we're going to – so then, like TD said, he wants to have a big year where his numbers look great like it did last year, and he's not because
– It could definitely put stress on him. But I think it's more the defensive tackles than the edge setters, even though all of it is important. All of it is important.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Zach Sealer, let's say something happens to Zach Sealer, that's going to impact my money if I'm Jordan Brooks.
Yeah.
Things going to impact his money.
You're actually right on that.
I understand he's right not going to do that, but his agent, like what sense to, like, you got to sit him down and talk to him. Like, this is the biggest opportunity that you're ever. I just don't see it getting better, and you got to take advantage. That last big bag is important in this league.
Remember, he didn't get a fifth-year option with Seattle. They didn't opt into it. So and Miami wasn't exactly a big bag. It was a nice bag, but it wasn't a big bag. So you're absolutely right. This is his opportunity to get a big bag. And,
playing through this season, boy, you talking
You might have a point. It might not be a wise idea. Just might want to get that back.
So many things working against you. Injury alone, like so many possibilities are working.
Other players' injury, performance of the defensive guys in front of you, performance of the guys behind you. Oh yeah, performance of the offense. You can't be on the field for 1,500 snaps.
Now, how much money will we save this year?
Plays though.
What'd you say?
If you're on the field for more defensive snaps, that's more opportunities to make plays and rack up tackle numbers.
Also, more opportunities to get injured, more opportunities for your body to wear down.
How much money will we save
to trade them?
Like, if we were to trade them, what money would we save the full cap this year of
8.3? Rounded up to 8.4, they would save by trading
them. The other cap, which is not real in the first place. It's not an issue anymore.
Love you.
Listen, that sounds like some really good money for two veteran edge players.
You're not gonna do nothing with the money.
Veteran edge players.
If they would have done it, they probably would.
You're not gonna do nothing with the money now.
They ain't doing nothing.
Well, guess what? We gotta prepare. Well, save it. We gotta prepare for Patrick Paul. That's coming too soon.
No, you got that. You got that money already. You're not doing nothing with the money.
Can we talk about Bradshaw for a second? I want to bring this up, and it's not one of our topics, but I'm going to bring it up because I don't know if you guys saw this. There's an ESPN analytics, you guys all saw this, what I'm talking about, the ESPN analytics guru who graded every offensive lineman in the NFL starter from 1 to 10, had the Dolphins as an aggregate being the 29th offensive line, had Patrick Paul at left tackle with a 4.9, which is below what he gives every rookie coming in, which is 5.0. And that 4.9, that was one of the worst grades for a left tackle in the NFL. Go ahead, you guys.
Have they fired the grader yet?
No, he's still employed.
Who does he work for?
ESPN. His name is Mike Clay.
Okay.
So, and we all agree that Patrick Paul is a lot better than that. Maybe not as good as certain media members whose name shall remain nameless to protect
the innocent. What are you talking
about? No.
If you want to step up and say me, then
is he not a $100 million player?
Not right now, he's not.
Two different websites, ESPN and NFL.com, put out articles talking about like up and coming or, you know, breakouts in 2026. And Patrick Paul is on both of them. I made a video about it because I was thinking to myself, who else needs to take that Patrick Paul step up to the next level?
Jonah,
I don't think I've seen, and this is a good question for Poupard because I disagree with all the Patrick. I think he's a dynamic player. Name me a player who has had a bigger year one to year two jump.
Dude, he didn't play in year one, so it's not like
he played like 300 snaps.
Oh man,
he played four games.
He played like three.
I'm looking it up.
I mean, but okay. But from year one to year two, even if he didn't play, the only guy I can think about is Xavier Howard. And I don't even think Xavier broke out in year two.
Xavier started breaking out in year two. Yes, he did. He started breaking out in year. Was it year two? He started breaking out.
Year two, maybe year three. He came in Tunsil year.
The guy who took a big step after his first year, but Pat is the thing with Patrick
Paul. Tunsil was good at his first year. Laramie Tunsil.
I don't think he was great. He was solid.
Patrick Paul.
He starts where you looked at it. I don't know how many snaps.
337. Yeah. 337 total snaps. And then
17 games that averages 20 snaps a game.
Hey, brother, listen.
And then, he only had 900, and so he had triple. So, yeah, triple the amount of snaps this year. So, one third of the snaps last year, his first year.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I always thought Patrick Paul was a really good player. I just see the future game in him is going to be really good. You know who he is from a skill standpoint? He's the Robert Hunt of left tackles. Just always doing your job. You are not elite, but you are really good. Robert Hunt ain't elite. He's just really good.
Two-time Pro Bowl. No, he's not a two-time Pro Bowler. Robert Hunt's upper echelon. He's not elite. He's upper echelon.
He's really good. That's the thing. The difference between he's really good and always really good consistently. He's not having these waves. He's just always coming, doing his job, not being a problem. Just does it really good.
When was Patrick Paul a problem?
No, he wasn't. That's my point. He's another Robert Hunt. Always doing his job really good. It's not coming across as the most elite dominant player ever, but just always doing. So, yeah, he is a $100 million left tackle.
If he continues to progress in 2026, if he stays like he was last year, that's not a $100 million player. Can we all agree? Letter grade on him. What is he, a B player?
B plus.
Yeah, I was going to go B plus, A minus.
I mean, you can't name five players better than him on the team.
Can you name how many left tackles can you name are better than him?
He's still in the neighborhood of Rashawn Slater. He's there.
Rashawn Slater is much better than him. Sorry.
Okay. We'll see. I'm tired of these excuses from Chargers. We'll see.
Slater gets hurt. I don't know what you said, but whatever. Slater gets hurt, but when he's in the game. Sorry, I don't know how many GMs would take Patrick Paul over Slater right now. So to me, before we talk about big contract next year when he's going to be extension eligible, he needs to, again, take another step forward.
Yeah, Allen, if he plays exactly the way he played last year, they're going to give him a contract extension at the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a big one.
Sure, we sure about that?
Yeah, because at a minimum, that's 3 years of okay, yeah. I mean, he's not going to be.
That would be 2 years of okay, yeah. That would be 2 years of okay. Because as a rookie, you're not going to tell me he was a B player as a rookie.
2.3.
He was all right. He got the job done. I mean, we
see him in the way.
He was a C player as a rookie.
He got in the way. That's all he needed to do.
Yeah, I mean, we act like finding left tackles are just so easy. Like, no, they're not. No, it's not. Probably one of the
They had Brandon Albert.
Paid for Teron Armstead. Paid for Brandon Albert. Drafted Laramie Tunsil, got lucky. I mean, we haven't had an issue at left tackle, but we put some resources and money and investment behind it as an organization. Okay, what happens when you don't?
Tunsil was a friend. Well, but you have to. That's one of those positions that you have to. Yeah. Okay.
So being that we're talking about Brooks.
We were talking about Brooks,
and then we went. I try to keep you guys in line, but it gets to a point where I'm just like, I'm gonna let go of the wheel. Because Rodriguez, that was the next point. We were supposed to go from Brooks to Rodriguez. It was a nice little transition. Yeah, someone grabbed the wheel. It's like, we're going this way.
Blame Allen, Poo Park.
Speaking of second round picks like Patrick Paul was, Jacob Rodriguez also a second round pick. And speaking of Jacob Rodriguez, Doug.
No, I liked my transition better. I was going to go because the whole topic was when will Rodriguez be ready? And with Brooks not having his contract yet and could be traded, if not, will he be ready for the start, for not the start of the season, but at some point in the season, will we see Rodriguez as the starting middle linebacker? How much more does this man need to learn? Because apparently he's learning a lot.
Would he not be learning a lot?
That's true.
Well, there's different, you know, if you're just learning your one position, it's completely different than learning other things.
Why is he learning other positions?
We also saw Jordan Brooks and Jacob Rodriguez are two middle linebackers.
That's what I'm saying.
I would say Jacob Rodriguez will get a lot of playing time and a lot of snaps in the exhibition season because I don't see Jordan Brooks and Terrell Dotson playing much in the exhibition season. If at all. And I think that this is a great opportunity for all those linebackers, all three of them, Jacob Rodriguez, Trey Moore, Kyle Lewis. That's your weak side. That's your inside. That's your strong. I think they just play all of the exhibition season. We take all the lessons and learn all the lumps that we need to learn in those periods, in those three games.
So
I'm Brooks and Dotson, I'm not playing in exhibition season.
Yeah, but it's not up to you.
It kind of is, if I want it to be.
You honestly think if Jeff Hafley, who is trying to establish his scheme in year one, you don't think he's going to want to have Brooks and Dotson?
If I'm Jordan Brooks and I tell you I'm not playing in the exhibition season, guess what? I'm not playing in the exhibition season. And what you going to do about it?
Again, A, do we really – does that really sound like
you Jordan? You going to trade me? What you going to do about it?
Does that really sound like Jordan Brooks?
No, it doesn't, but it could be. And if I'm him, I'm not chancing risking my $40 million to play in some fake games for $1,800. Not going to happen. Won't do it.
If that was the case.
You would be stupid.
If that was the case and then they did trade him, then all of a sudden you know what we have at GM and head coach that we don't have. I'm not going to talk ill about the past. Let's just say that.
I mean, if
talking about it's still counting against.
If you want to pretend like playing tough guy,
I'm not even talking about that man. I'm talking about another man that's in Pittsburgh. I think he's still going against the cap too. Hold on.
Yes, he is
still
kind of against the cap. How much million dollars?
Is that man still going?
Yes, he still counts against the cap. Yes, he does.
Are we talking about Ramsey?
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, he is. $20.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
That guy. See what happens when you do the player power and player empowerment. That's all mm-hmm. great and dandy, and then you wind up with.
Let's pay them to make them happy. Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill. Guess what? They're both $48 million against the cap, putting them both together right now in the dead cap.
Hey man, listen, when you had the ridiculous cap space, when you had the cap space, even though they were making ridiculous money, where did it go? This is why the cap ain't real. You little fantasy, little dead cap. all it means is you're paying $70 million on the team for the talent this year. And literally in the past years, you've given away money that hasn't counted against the cap. So now you get away. But who do you pay the $70 million? Who do you pay the $179 million to this year? Nobody.
You give me $179 million with this roster.
Tua.
you could be spending on players on the roster now. That's what you.
I got a question,
Omar. We had $179 million right now. Nobody would be saying we rebuilding because they would have went all heavy in free agency.
I don't think they would have went that heavy.
They would have never really.
How have you ever seen Green Bay go that heavy in free agency? I think they would have grabbed some guys. I think they would have grabbed more than the
they never over leveraged.
Sullivan has addressed that. He said, "I will pay. We will pay for elite players, but we will build and develop the team. We will pay and trade for elite players, mm-hmm. but we will build and develop the team through the draft." Mm-hmm. But that's what everybody says until you have a hole that you can't fill and it's not going to be available to you in the draft, and then you got to spend big bucks to go get it.
Preach, Omar. Well done.
Everybody said that.
Yep.
So I got a question. The dead cap. So the 2026 dead money, is that money that's already been given to the player?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And for Tua, money that will be given to him.
Right.
Okay. Because
the only reason it's money that will be given to him is because he had guaranteed contract money.
So he will get paid this year by us and then next year by us. And then
No.
So he's just getting both this year and next year given to him and then.
Yes.
Probably already got it.
For bookkeeping purposes, it's spread out over 2 years.
Gotcha.
So let me ask you, if Jacob Rodriguez was drafted in the first round by the Dolphins at 28 or 30, wherever we got Chris Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he was drafted there, would we be looking at this differently? Would we be saying he need to be on the field?
I think I don't think Brooks would have called him, and I think Brooks would have been traded.
Yeah, he would.
Not a first round. No, that's your replacement right there.
No.
We wouldn't expect the first rounder to be on the field.
Yeah, you would, but I think they're not gonna. I think they tell me the reason why Brooks, Dotson, and Jacob Rodriguez can't be on the field together. Tell me the reason.
Who's your strong side linebacker? Who's your Sam?
I'll make Dotson my strong side linebacker. I don't care. Tell me the reason.
Then that's what they.
Well, that's not what he's been. I mean,
it don't matter. It don't matter. He's a football player. Give me the reason. Yeah. Give me the reason. Who am I holding down to play?
Jake Willie Gay Jr.
If they don't fit the role, you can't try to mash a square peg into a round hole. That's where you get players who don't. Produce and all of a sudden you're like, this is a bust. Well,
Channing Crowder was a weak side linebacker for a couple of seasons while he played next to Zach Thomas. That wasn't his natural position. Y'all know Channing.
You're playing next to Zach Thomas.
Yeah, and you have Jason Taylor. My point is, y'all know Zach can't cover. I mean, Channing can't cover. So it is what it is. You got to put him on the field. If this season is about player development, as you all say, and you have three talented inside linebackers, and that's the thing. Terrell Dotson is not going anywhere. Now, he might get hurt, but he's not going anywhere. He's not going to give up that job.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that.
Okay.
And if you do, then it's probably not going to be about talent, and if that's the message you want to send.
Sure. Since we're talking in this hypothetical, wouldn't it be smarter to put Brooks on the outside and put Jacob Rodriguez at his natural position inside?
Yeah, Brooks is a weak side linebacker. He's not an inside linebacker.
Okay.
Brooks
because it just I was getting flashbacks of taking Jonah and putting him at left guard because we had James Daniels at right guard, and it's just I was like
people don't realize Brooks is a weak side linebacker. He's not an inside linebacker.
Is he getting the dot? Is he getting the green dot this year?
He doesn't want the green dot, but Halfley said that he might get the green dot. But Brooks has made it clear, and I've written a story. I don't want the green dot. I don't like
the dot. The one who has the dot.
It slows me down.
Keep in mind, Halfley has said he wants all his players to play multiple positions. So yes, there could be some moving around, and that includes other spots.
Depending on what base they're in, but. The reason why I brought up the Rodriguez hypothetical with the first round pick, because why wouldn't they view him as a first round pick equivalence anyway? You get him at 43 and say, I'm shocked he was there. I thought he would have been gone in the first round. Yeah. So it's like you get that type of talent, like you're not going to treat it that way.
But you'd have to unseat the guy ahead of you. This isn't like the left guard situation where it's Jonah.
Like, but this is why you can't have your cake and eat it too. For all these pessimistic individuals, oh, we're just rebuilding, we're this and that. Then Rodriguez need to be on the field, going ahead and getting his lumps now. If that's the case,
he's gonna get snaps. He's definitely gonna get snaps.
Throw him in. This is your role. You drafted him in the second round early. This is your role.
If he shows in camp he's ready to start, then my guess is he's going to start. And again, with all the respect to Tyrell Dotson, who had a good statistical year last year, it's not like we're talking about a star linebacker here. As respectfully as I can say this, so Jacob Rodriguez shows he's got the goods.
Here's the thing about Tyrell Dotson, though, that people are not assessing. This is his first year. Going into the same system, well, actually, he's not in the same system. Starting with the same team where he's going into the season, I'm going to be a returning starter. This is also a year where he can establish himself as an NFL starter. I'm not sure he's done that.
Throughout. Been in the league 6 years, dude. Seriously? Been in the league 6 years. We're supposed to make
as working his way up as an undrafted player, working his way up as a special teams. His way up as a fringe starter, then he's worked his way up the league.
Yeah, then signed with Seattle as a free agent, and they cut his ass halfway through his first season because they didn't like the way he covered.
And after then he led the team in tackles.
They still cut him after signing him as a free agent midway through the
after season. After trading for a linebacker. Yes, and I hear what you're saying.
It wasn't, but yeah, I admit it still was a shock when they cut him. Yeah. When Seattle cut him. A lot of people did not.
My point is that he doesn't have anything on his resume that says that guy's a must starter. And this whole thing of like, well, this is first chance to be going back to the same team as a returning starter. He's been in the league for 6 years. It's not because he hasn't had the opportunity. It's because he hasn't been good enough. I mean, let's be honest.
You got to be in the locker room with these men. Jeez Louise. Let's get to this last one because I thought this last one was interesting, and then we'll get to the donations. Proctor should be a right tackle. Now, I think we all can come to some type of agreement that if Austin Jackson goes down, do we all kind of see Proctor then becoming the right tackle, or do you think they're going to keep him at left guard? Because I can see Proctor going to right tackle, and then if Jameer is healthy, he would go to left guard.
Maybe Jonah goes to right tackle. But I will say this. Next man up. Yeah.
You act like Jonah actually played more snaps in his college career.
Trust Jonah's feet in space. Because to me, last year, the times where my eyes like hurt from watching him the most last year was when he had a little bit in space at guard trying to pass protect.
Yeah, to the left side.
I think it was him getting overpowered by guys or him not being technically sound. I don't know what Jonah is. Y'all know I don't really care. I don't really think he's that dynamic. If he turns a corner, great for him. But I think it's the next man up. Whoever's the sixth man in training camp is the next guy in, and we rotate and we move and adjust. And obviously, you know, I asked Jeff Hafley, like, okay, you know he's going to play right tackle. Why not have him start out right tackle now, especially with Austin Jackson not practicing? And they were like, we just want him to have a great chance to have success where as a rookie. But if Austin goes down, I think it'd be crazy not to put him at right tackle.
But that applied, his comment applied to the offseason. And the Dolphins have never said anything definitively as far as Proctor is playing left guard the entire rookie season. All they've said is he's starting at left guard. To me, I think if you drafted him with the ideas you're left at your right tackle of the future, why is he not out there right now? Mm-hmm. Because if yes, 2026 is about player development, I kind of get the feeling for some reason maybe they see him as a jumbo size guard who can make the same impact as a right tackle. I don't know.
Maybe that left side, maybe running behind 250 pounders on the left side is what they want to do. Maybe they look at Patrick Paul and say, we're not giving that $100 million. We might just slide Proctor over to left tackle and trade. Maybe. I don't know. It's better to have options than no options.
Could now all of a sudden, you know, this will be something we'll probably talk about as the season goes on. We get closer to the trade deadline, but
he's got to play well. That's
the case. Is Patrick Paul a trade candidate when we get closer to the trade deadline, depending on how the team is? If that's the thought process, all right, we'll just kick, we'll do the tunsil. We're going to kick, you know, Proctor to the tackle.
That'd be more of an off-season move, though, than an in-season. Those in-season trades are basically guys that.
If you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button. We're going to be live all year talking about all
this. Boy, you just opened up a can of worms.
Patrick Clyde Long with the tenor says, thank you so much. Love this content. Even in the dog days of the offseason, your work is loved. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Clyde.
I will tell you, it is very hard to come up with some of these topics. True Fin Fan 78 said, when Poop speaks, clickbaiters run. Get them, Poop.
I don't even know what that means, but thank you.
I have no idea what that means.
Finn says, I think Willis is...
Because I bring facts. Sorry, because I bring facts. There you go, Doug. Thank you. Go
ahead. I think Willis is a decent comp to Tyrod Taylor, minus the injuries. What do you think of Tyrod Taylor's 2026 stats as a starting point for Willis? All right, Tyrod.
Malik Willis is Tyrod Taylor, then the Dolphins made a bad move there. Sorry, and with all due respect to Tyrod.
61.7 completion percentage, 3,023 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 89.7 rating.
89.7, what about rushing yards?
All right, hold on. Let me get more into that.
That's not good enough for me.
Different kind of athlete too. I mean, Malik Willis is a much better athlete.
Would be a first year as a starter. So Tyrod Taylor was a career backup.
2016, he had 580 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns.
586 touchdowns. That's not bad. It's 22 touchdowns total.
His best rushing.
His first year as a starter was 2015. He actually made the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. That rating was 99.4.
Ooh, that's a nice year.
That's a nice year, yeah. I still think Malik Willis is a better athlete than Tyrod Taylor.
If Malik doesn't have a 90-plus rating, yeah, I'm good.
Got to check up on you.
Karan.
Rating.
Hear me out for 27, draft wild bison from Wyoming. Now, are you talking about the legit animal that trucked that poor
I didn't understand why people kept tying the Dolphins into it, but then I realized
was a natural, because you know how sometimes the animals, something like that happens and then you put the animal down. No one touched that bison. That man, I think it's messed up that they were taking the man's image in the air and then putting it as Air Jordans. And it was, you're just, the internet is relentless. They're just relentless.
The man okay though, right?
Yeah, he's all right. I think he fractured his hip. But yeah, he tried to get away from the bison, but
he was running.
That bison was coming for him, though.
I didn't know how big bisons were until the bison lifted him in the air. Imagine the Buffalo Bills using that video.
Oh man!
Just putting their opponents' faces on them. They should.
No, they're going to put that Landry or Fitzpatrick jersey on the old guy who got tossed in the air.
Clyde said, watched Armstead with Patrick Paul, and he left Garrett with all zeros. Watched the tape. Armstead flexed happy for Paul. Yeah. Tarn Armstead had him on. Oh, we just lost him.
Yeah, I don't remember. I thought he gave up a sack against Myles Garrett. I think this is called selective memory.
Let's see.
He was very adamant he didn't at all.
Okay, I mean, it's marketing. Like, who's going to double check you?
Hey, but I'm curious. You know, they were talking about in that interview. Patrick Paul, they were kind of insinuating he was having not a bad rough go, but he wasn't trying to hear what nobody had to say when he first was there. And Armstead had to sit him down.
That was interesting. I don't know if I'm not there and I'm not in the meeting rooms, but I did not get that impression from Patrick Paul. Or I did not get that impression from his teammates. They loved him as a rookie.
So in that game, Myles Garrett had one sack, but I don't know what side he got that sack off of.
Good point. I can't remember. Poupard wouldn't know. Did Myles Garrett get a sack on Patrick Paul? Or get a sack?
I don't remember what side he came in from. I
don't know. It's easy. Somebody. Yeah,
we just gotta find the fact. Look it up after this. I bet.
I'm looking it up right now. I got you.
I'm telling you. I think he got it on Patrick Paul because I was closely watching that matchup. But you know, maybe Patrick is right.
How many pressures did he have? Also, yeah.
So last year, Patrick Paul only gave up 4 sacks. And they were against New England, against Carolina, against New Orleans, and against Tampa Bay. He did not give up a sack against the Cleveland Browns.
That's according to who?
Your favorite.
Pro Football Focus.
Yep. So last year, 4 sacks, 2 hits, 19 hurries, 25 pressures.
Okay.
Much better. I didn't mean to clap that.
So maybe he didn't give up a sack. So that means it was on the other side, which would be
Borum.
Larry Borum.
Borum.
He's still on the team, right?
Because Jackson. No, he's with the Detroit Lions.
He was actually a good player. I know I gave him a lot of crap in the early.
Yeah, as the season went on. Yeah, he got him and Strange as the season went on. They got a little bit better as it was, because in the beginning of the season I was like,
Strange is somebody I definitely would have resigned. But
he rejoined Butch Perry and Mike McDaniel.
Clyde with another tenor says, you already said this, buddy. You don't have to donate twice. He said, watched Armstead talk to Patrick Paul on his live. Great stuff. Paul shut down Garrett to all zeros last year. Yeah.
All right. Props to Patrick Paul for flexing and getting it done.
I still think it's hilarious that man laughs at people. What are you going to do? Like, if he starts laughing at you, what are you going
to
do?
Really, it's disrespectful, but very entertaining. I think my favorite thing to watch during training camp outside 11-11s is O-line, D-line one-on-ones. And it's so entertaining to watch Patrick Paul. Like, it's like, no, buddy, hold you up, and then he starts laughing.
You're not going to hit him. He's like 6'7", 300-something pounds. You're not going to, like.
It was a Jaguar. Did they have a joint practice against the Jaguars?
Yeah, I think I was at that one.
It was Allen. He pulled him aside and was talking to him, and I just wondered what that talk was like. But it was just like he literally pulled him aside and was just like, during one-on-ones, it was just like, hey man, like, you cheating or you holding me or whatever he said. Like, stop, you know, laughing. It was a cordial conversation, but it was definitely, you know, like a little bit intense.
And if Jonah can take that next step And if Proctor is as good as we hope he is, the offensive line is actually going to be pretty good. Minus, obviously, we don't know what's going on with Austin Jackson.
Which unit is going to be better, the offensive line or the defensive line?
Offensive line.
Oh, line.
I need Chop to, because if then Chop takes the Patrick Paul step, like I said in my video today, then they can focus, you know, the blocking towards him, and then maybe Uche will get more one-on-ones and revert, you know, father time back to 2022. And
Chop ain't ready for no double teams.
The four people I put that I would like to see take that Patrick Paul next step was Jonah, Chop, Kenneth Grant, and Malik Washington. I actually threw him in there just because we need help at wide receiver. So if
he is one of those where he's been, to me, remember, he was a sixth-round pick. Mm-hmm. So he's been good, productive, but he is what he is as a wide receiver. He's dependable. He's going to be there. He's going to know his assignments. He's secure with the ball. He's a good returner.
Good number three.
Mm.
Or four. If you're looking for explosive plays in the passing game, that ain't your guy.
So let me ask you this. Malik Washington with Tom Brady. Does Tom Brady make him a Julian Edelman and a Wes Welker?
No, because I don't think he's physical enough to go.
Over. Gotcha.
I don't think he's shifty enough. I don't think he's a slot receiver, my personal opinion.
Is that where they're going to put him, or are they going to put him outside?
He's never been.
Never?
I don't recall them lining up in the slot.
Who? Malik Washington? He was a slot. All they did was run hitches and little.
Malik Washington was outside or in the backfield. I don't recall.
You talking about last year? Or yes. You talking about.
I'm going to look it up.
He's a slot receiver.
Bubble screens.
Maybe
he was a slot receiver. Tyreek wasn't a slot receiver. He was a slot receiver.
Tyreek wound up in the slot at times. Yes, he did.
Tyreek played like four games.
I understand that.
And when Tyreek was gone, Malik was a slot, and Malik was not very good at the slot.
Bubble screens and jet sweeps.
So you ready for this interesting data?
Yeah.
Malik Washington, wide, 290 total snaps. Malik Washington in the slot, 250 snaps.
Ha!
Very close. Very, very close. 21 in the backfield and two in line. But those two in line, that was like the play where they would have Tyreek kind of like facing the sideline, get really low. Did they do that so you couldn't see him? Kind of hide him?
Yeah.
Up against the end, because I every time I saw them run that play where he literally was like facing the sideline but kind of hid behind the tackle, I was always like, I feel like they're hiding him, because when he would snap the ball, he would like run out and run his routes.
He is the Mike McDaniel.
Yep.
All offense went south when they stopped with the jet sweep.
Yes, once the
cheap motion.
Is that officially banned now, or
it was never banned? It was never banned.
Yep.
So why did they stop?
No, that's a great question.
From my understanding, I thought
Go ahead.
I thought the NFL had a conversation about moving forward too early. See, we did have a cheat motion at first. We tried to clean it up, but it stopped the advantage, honestly. We used to go down the line and start forward and then hike the ball, giving them that head start. And that was the problem that the league was looking for.
That was the report that came out that was bogus, and I'm going to tell you why it was bogus. Mm. Every training camp, we have a meeting with the officials where they go over the new rules, the emphasis and all that. And we literally asked, I don't remember who it was, asked the officials about, will there be more of an emphasis on guys cutting early, like Tyreek did in that one big year, cutting upfield early. And he was like, never came up. So even though it was in the media at one point, that was never addressed or even put as an emphasis. But for some reason, the Dolphins stopped using it.
I thought when the season started is when they were talking about it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Okay. I think there was an emphasis on Clay. Don't be moving. But last year, and this is what I want to say, last year they had to kill the cheat motion because most of the offensive players didn't, most of the wide receivers didn't know what they were doing.
Mm.
So,
because they had a few new ones.
They had to simplify the offense. Yeah.
But then, Tyreek got hurt. Like, and killed it for 2 years, though, almost.
I mean, have a quarterback that can handle it and execute it for most of the season. And then the other year was last year. Where you lost a wide receiver. And from what I was told from people on that coaching staff, the wide receivers did not know what the hell they were doing. So,
yeah, because we didn't have Tua for what, like 7 games in 2024? We had the 4 he was on IR, and then we had the 3 at the end of the season, last 2.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to head out of here. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Finstalk, youtube.com/TD Finstalk, and AFC's Roundtable. You can check me out, youtube.com/DougLeeDoWrong. We will see you Friday. I think we're going to do another pre-record. I'm going to try to get two of these gentlemen on that pre-record. Alan's saying no, but I think
live.
I'm going to get
them. We'll see. We'll see what we're going to do.
I'm going to get them.
And don't forget to check out Prize Picks. Play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups using code HMA, the official sponsor of Dolphins Collective all season long. Go on and have fun. Make sure that you play responsibly. And follow me on Prize Picks, man. I be hitting sometimes. You can come and go on Prize Picks, follow me, and get in on the action, supporting our sponsors and supporting the channel.
You betting those WNBA games, TD?
You know what? That's funny to say that.
Hey, I actually did Vegas League.
Oh, I didn't do well in it. I actually played it for the first time, the WNBA, like last week. I was the fever against somebody. I forgot, but they lost.
We will see you guys Friday. Peace out.